Chapter 138. Whom it may prove to be reserved. Nothing like the prevailing sensation has existed in the counting house since Mr. Dombey's little son died. But all such excitements there take a social, not to say a jovial turn, and lead to the cultivation of good fellowship. A reconciliation is established on this propitious occasion between the acknowledged wit of the counting house and an aspiring rival, with whom he has been a deadly feud for months, and a little dinner being proposed, in commemoration of their happily restored amity, takes place at a neighboring tavern, the wit in the chair, the rival acting as vice president. The orations following the removal of the cloth are opened by the chair, who says, "Gentlemen, he can't disguise from himself that this is not a time for private dissensions. Recent occurrences to which he need not more particularly allude, but which have not been altogether without notice in some Sunday papers, apostrophe and in a daily paper which he need not name here every other member of the company, names it in an audible murmur, have caused him to reflect. And he feels that for him, and Robinson to have any personal differences at such a moment, would be forever, to deny that good feeling in the general cause, for which he has reason to think, and hope that the gentlemen in Dombey's house have always been distinguished." Robinson replies to this like a man and a brother, and one gentleman who has been in the office 3 years, under continual notice to quit on account of lapses in his arithmetic, appears in a perfectly new light, suddenly bursting out with a thrilling speech, in which he says, "May their respected chief never again know the desolation which has fallen on his hearth," and says a great variety of things, beginning with "May he never again," apostrophe which are received with thunders of applause. In short, a most delightful evening is passed, only interrupted by a difference between two juniors, who, quarreling about the probable amount of Mr. Carker's late receipts per annum, defy each other with decanters, and are taken out greatly excited. Soda water is in general request at the office next day, and most of the party deem the bill an imposition. As to Perch, the messenger, he is in a fair way of being ruined for life. He finds himself again constantly in bars of public houses, being treated and lying dreadfully. It appears that he met everybody concerned in the late transaction, everywhere, and said to them, "Sir, apostrophe or madam, as the case was, why do you look so pale?" Apostrophe at which each shuddered from head to foot, and said, "Oh, Perch!" Apostrophe apostrophe and ran away. Either the consciousness of these enormities, or the reaction consequent on liquor, reduces Mr. Perch to an extreme state of low spirits at that hour of the evening, when he usually seeks consolation in the society of Mrs. Perch at Ball's Pond. And Mrs. Perch frets a good deal, for she fears his confidence in woman is shaken now, and that he half expects on coming home at night, to find her gone off with some viscount which, apostrophe as she observes to an intimate female friend, is what these wretches in the form of woman have to answer for, Mrs. P. It ain't the harm they do themselves, so much as what they reflect upon us, ma'am, and I see it in Perch's eye. Mr. Dombey's servants are becoming, at the same time, quite dissipated, and unfit for other service. They have hot suppers every night, and talk it over with smoking drinks upon the board. Mr. Towlinson is always maudlin after 10:30, and frequently begs to know whether he didn't say that no good would ever come of living in a corner house. They whisper about Miss Florence, and wonder where she is, but agree that, if Mr. Dombey don't know, Mrs. Dombey does. This brings them to the latter, of whom cook says, "She had a stately way though, hadn't she? But she was too high." They all agree that she was too high, and Mr. Towlinson's old flame, the housemaid, who is very virtuous, entreats that you will never talk to her any more about people who hold their heads up, as if the ground wasn't good enough for 'em. Everything that is said, and done about it, except by Mr. Dombey, is done in chorus. Mr. Dombey and the world are alone together. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.